Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Didn't hear any of that intro. Don't know if that's a problem, but I'm ready to go.
That might be a drawback of... I think it'll be fine. We changed up a little bit of the process here, and I heard it, and what I hear goes in the pod, so... I think it'll be okay.
Wicked.
But yeah, that might be, that's made my mind up that we won't be able to do certain things. So we'll go back, I think, to the original system.
Okay, sweet.
Makes a lot of sense though. So it's all good. Shouldn't affect the rest of the pod. So hang with us, guys. How was your week, buddy?
Yeah, excellent. Obviously got to throw some frisbees on the weekend, and now I'm finally into the last week of work. It's the final hurdle. It's been rough, but getting through. Theo's come down with something today. He got sent home from daycare. So it's all kicking off. Bring on the holidays.
When are your holidays?
Come Saturday. Done. Oh, 2 weeks off.
Jeez. All right. Nice. There you go. Shows yeah. How out of touch I am.
Yeah.
Good week for me too. Nothing much, just chilling at work. Gonna go away to Sydney this weekend, on Friday actually, to go do a bit of work with the old man. So, should be good. Haven't been on a plane in what feels like forever. So, I don't even remember how to get there. So, we'll have to suss that out, but should be alright. It's been wet and gross, which is a bit sad, but what are you gonna do?
Yep, what are you gonna do?
I don't remember giving sponsorship to the tee off.
No.
Do you?
No, I didn't. I don't remember paying them for the service. No.
Nah, because they, in their 45 minute pod, had about 30 minutes of Dollars advertising. And I don't, did we make money off the shirts? Is that, did we give them advertising money?
We must have, because they went hard and they went sustained. And I've looked at the data, and we are spiking as we speak.
Wild. We were like their whole show, just featured from start to finish, woe to go. I didn't see that one coming. I missed it, actually. I missed the drop of their pod. I'm normally pretty quick on it. And after last week's episode, got a message from Doug Adams, something to the effect of, cooler heads prevailed here by just not mentioning the tee off, just icing him out. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, you feature heavily. And I was like, yeah, we don't really play cool heads here.
That's not our MO.
I'm like, we just didn't listen to it. So. And that was good. It's one of their best ever, I think. Would have to be. So check it out.
I'm sure they've actually got lots of positive feedback from the episode. And I suspect that just might be now their style. Are they to us what Talking Trilogy is to them? Are they just now a subsidiary of us? Is that what's happened?
That'd be great. I could sign up for that. I can sign up. A mentor program sort of thing.
Yeah, they're just like our B-roll.
It's good. Yeah, I pretty much co-hosted it. Hello, I'm Alan Brunsing from Melbourne Disc Golf, and you're listening to the DR. I don't even remember doing that. I have honestly no idea when or where that was, but apparently he's got the old man in there too, so I might have to...
I reckon that's...
Yeah.
Deepfake AI. Deepfake. Just be keep an eye on that.
Yeah. I might have to get Patty or Tim drunk and get them to do a little promo for us. That'd be nice.
Yep.
We'll get the old Ricky Wysocki one going again. So they've got me as a promo, but we got old Tricky Ricky.
Yeah, I know.
I think we might be winning.
I need to get onto that.
Yeah. something that they're onto. Speaking of onto, that's a little bit better of a transition. Speaking of onto, have you seen that the tee times are already up for the Queensland Open kicking off on Friday?
42 hours away or something crazy. I did see that.
Very, very impressive work there. We already touched on how well or how good of a job Vito has done, and the and I'm sure Nath as well, this isn't TD, and a bunch of others, but on prep work and getting stuff out there quick, and videos and fly-throughs and course maps and descriptions and all that shit. But yeah, right now you just, like, people already know what time they're teeing off, what layout they're playing. Like, it's sick. I love it. We're looking good.
So good. What do you make of the feature card? Have you spied the Park Media card?
I have. It's it's sick, but it's odd for them. They normally would want to chuck in an Atticus or a Jacob Davies or Elias or something like that. They've just gone straight Bainey, Perry, D'Alessandro, and Cassie Sweeten.
Correct.
Big. They normally don't have, like, all-time big dogs. I guess Chuck and Cassie's in there, but she's an all-time big dog in Australian disc golf, if we really think about it. But, yeah, you don't normally see Bainey, Perry, and Aussie D in round one. So, potentially that might have been some TD influence. I'm not sure about that. We don't know, but I'm here for it. Like, I think that'd be dope. I'm super looking forward. I can't remember the last time I watched Aussie D on coverage.
Yeah, well spotted. Good call. I think a few people are happy with it, but I am hearing machinations that not everyone is happy with that feature card.
Ooh, what way? What are people not happy about?
Well, I think you may have alluded to it there a little bit, just like maybe a bit of curiosities around any room for any local talent. Or young local talent, or that's an overstretch. They definitely didn't ask for young local talent. they basically just said, what about me? They've gone with big dogs, as you rightfully said. And yeah, it will be cool to see Aussie D back on coverage. Obviously Bainey and DP going toe to toe in there as well. It will be a ring-a-ding-ding.
And now I am not in this MPO chat, and this is what I assume it's coming from. When you say they, I assume it means he. And when you say local, all I'm looking at on that field is Nick Halstead, Hayden Fatteny, and Josh Morrison. They're the only names I'm seeing coming up as local that aren't on the card. So are we warm?
You could be a detective. You really could be.
There you go. All right. Well, just tell them if they play good, they can get on round two or round three.
Yeah. Just look at me, round one at Vic Open. You know, I wore it so well. I didn't even enter the raffle. Like, I sent Park Media some money and I said, don't enter me. I'll be on coverage round two. That was the mindset, and hence why I made it on round two coverage. Just went in with the right mindset.
Perfect. That's what I like to see. It is a bit of a weird MPO field, though. We're looking at that. So I missed Jack Sifanos. But so that makes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Did I just read it? Maybe I got that wrong. 5 or 6 Queensland players in the 23-person field. And Victorians, I'm looking at 3, 4. Dave Perry, he's got ATT, but he's a Vic. 5, and Ryan Michelle 6. So there's more Victorians at the Queensland Open than Queenslanders. Queensland trash at disc golf? Is that what we've just figured out?
I don't know if they're trash at disc golf. They're obviously putting on a very well-run event.
Yeah, but I mean playing it.
Time will tell. Time will tell.
I'll have a quick scroll down and see what the MA4 field's looking like. They might have that. MA3, they got covered. but it's going to be spicy. I'm really looking forward to it. Watching the live scores and then finally watching the park stuff. That'd be sick. Who do you have your eye on in the MPO field? Who's taking it home and who thinks a bit of a roughie?
All right. So DP obviously had a good performance on the weekend, but Blake Howson is there as well. I think Blake takes down another major.
Yeah.
And I think the roughie to keep an eye on is Nathan Parrish.
Big.
He played so badly at Melbourne Celebrates.
I know, it's crazy.
I don't know what happened. What about yourself? Who's taking it down and who's your roughie to keep your eye on?
I'm half with you. I'm with you with Blake. You said Dave did well at Melbourne Celebrates. I don't know. I kind of expected more. So we'll get to that when we get to that. But that sort of put me on the back burner a little bit. And I feel like Blake might have done well here last year. I can't remember. But yeah, so I like Blake. I like Blake for this. I think, yeah, you said take down another major. I think he might end up taking down a bunch of majors. I think this might be a very good year for the kid. So I got him. And in terms of roughies, I don't know. The roughies suck in Australia. That's why they're rough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I wanted to say, like, is Dan Frost the roughie? Like,
yeah, exactly. Now, outside of the usual big dogs that we would see, I don't know. I have a good feeling about Jacob Davies. Got a good feeling about Jacob Davies. He's my one to watch.
Okay.
I'm super keen to see what Mikey Hare does too, though. So,
You know I'm on the Mikey train.
Yeah, exactly. What about the rest of the field? Anyone you're looking at? I don't think
Paul,
we have
Paul Phillips.
Too many people Paul, know him. Yeah.
Paul Phillips. We got a 980 MP40 player. He's come up on the pod before as like sneaking up on that top 20 leaderboard here in Australia. Obviously the highest rated Queenslander disc golfer outside of Bainey.
Outside of the guys rated higher than him.
Outside of Bainey, obviously good.
Yeah.
Playing in MP40. He's definitely keeping a close eye on him because he's up against Ryan Johnson. That's where it's at. Like they're just old. The good Queensland disc golfers are just old.
Yeah, Gavin is no joke as well. Chris Palazzi, obviously good. So yeah, they definitely have the MP40 section covered.
Yeah.
So that'd be good. In my division, MA1, it's going to be spicy. So Tim Davies, I don't know. I haven't seen much of him playing. So we shall see. He's very good when he's very good. But if he hasn't been playing, then I'm not quite sure. Joe Paul is just quietly sneaking up and up and up and up in rating the young fella. So he could definitely be one to watch. And there's not too many other names there that I particularly know. So I like the look of a Joe and Tim sort of battle moving along here. But the Alex Tame and Luke Robinson.
Broden Sherritt.
Yeah, well, I recognize that name.
He's just so good. He's so come up on the pod before. He's so good for someone who's so bad. He will just pull one out one day.
Maybe. I don't know. Yep. Have you had a look at the tipping options for the national thing that I started?
not yet. Yeah,
you'll have to have a look at that. The first option is a nice little battle that he might feature in. And turns out you can name them. You can put little names on the battle. So I might have had a little bit of fun.
Sweet.
That should be good. Mm-hmm. The FA1 looks really good. I like this. Oh, yeah. This is a really solid field. Leah Manning, the highest rated in that. And she's been playing some great disc golf, coming over from WA up against Sarah Champness and Michaela Warren, the two local Queensland girls, would be very much looking to take that down. So I'm super excited. I'm seeing all five of them, though, on a card, and that sounds terrible. Five on a card with the tee times and an early one, too, could be troubles here, so we might have to keep an eye on that. Is there any after them?
No, you've just got three players in FA40. You pair them up and you've got eight players and you just got two cards of four.
I would have thought.
Yeah, hard. Something. There's got to be something more creative you can do.
I'm trying to have a look to see if there might be a gap here between 850. I think the next time I see is 910. So they got a bit of a 20-minute gap, but I don't know if that's going to be enough.
Yeah.
We shall see.
How's the Cats and Juniors kicking off at 10-7?
Gross.
What the hell? I love that. I want to go back and play MJ 15. 10 to 7 tee off. That's outrageous.
Oh boy, five of them as well. MJ 15, five of them, yikes. All right. We'll see.
It's just a lot of players.
Yeah, that's a lot of players. So 164 players going out there. Too many people making the trip up. I've seen Leroy Sharrock though in the MA50. Richard Lewis-Schell, who has been dominating Victoria. So I got to imagine he'll win.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to imagine he'll win. Anyone else we see in the MA50 is normally our big division.
We've got another chew, which has me my interest peaked. I'm seeing Michael Smith with New South Wales tags next to his name. Is there three Michael Smiths around in Australian 100%. Disc golf?
That's a third one.
What is going on?
That's a third one.
That's hectic. But Eamesy, that's his home track these days, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. But yeah, I think Richard's got him. Sorry, Eamesy. Yeah. I reckon Richard's got it. He probably doesn't know what he's up against yet, but Richard's on a tear. So I reckon he's going to get it done.
Peter Howes is driving up.
Mm-hmm.
Just a smoky Peter. You never see him neck minute. He's playing Queensland Open.
Yeah. All right, what else we got? FO50, we don't know much about what's going on there. MA2, we got any of our people floating Mitch around Evers. In that? Oh, Mitchie Boy's going up?
Yep, of course he is. Sick. Shawnee Freeman, Buzz.
Okay, we've got plenty going on. That's cool. I'll have to keep an eye on that. Ben Kennedy. Wasn't Ben Kennedy Victorian? Or am I crazy?
No. Right. You're crazy.
Gotcha. Oh, Mitchie, an apology. He did not get a shirt because apparently I didn't order it.
He might feature later in the pod, Mitch.
Oh, no. I've got to have a look at that order form you sent me, see whether his name was on it. Hopefully it wasn't, and then I can just play him mute.
how would that be my fault?
I don't know.
If it's not on my order form?
You made it.
He messaged you personally and said, "Hey, bro, hook me up."
Well, I checked that. I was like, "Has he cooked? Have I cooked this?" And he's let me know. But he just sent money.
Well,
that was it. He sent me a screenshot of his money. I was like, "Oh, cool. He must have paid."
Maybe he messaged me personally.
Maybe I hope so. If there's any way I can get out of this and not feel bad, that'd be great.
I'll see what I can do for you.
Yeah, that'd be good. Not seeing too much else anywhere else. Nothing else really jumping out of me in these other divisions too. I'm sure they'll be entertaining, but yeah, I think my eyes will be on a pretty good NPO battle and some cool stuff for Victoria going on in MA2 and MA50. But I honestly think it's going to be a real good battle. I think there's going to be a few people in contention here. And I'm keen. I'm super excited for it. The NPO field's strong too. So like the lowest rated players like 934. Bryce is on his way up, and then it's just sort of Budgie, just still budging around.
Yeah, you never know with Budgie.
You never know. It's so wild. He's still just better than me at disc golf though.
Yep. That's the truth.
So nah, that'll be a lot of fun. Good tournament. Can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, bring it on. Looking forward to just an Australian major. It's been a minute.
Yeah, Vic Open was the last one.
I know, and I made lead card at an Australian major.
You did. You definitely did.
I definitely did.
Yeah. All right, well, we had the Melbourne Celebrates on the weekend, and it was great. I really enjoyed it. You didn't get to play last year, so you don't really know the differences, but how did you find the course?
It's a beautiful park. I'd obviously played back there back in the day and no holes rung a bell. So like I was obviously completely blind, got there early, got to play maybe four holes before we teed off. And then obviously for the rest of the day, I was just seeing the holes for the first time, and the park's epic and it deserves a permanent track. And it's, I heard a little bit of talk around, you could easily just squeeze 9 holes into this little corner pocket here. I'm not here for any of that. Like, if we're putting a course in there, we're putting a proper course in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I completely agree. Most of the, or half-ish at least, were like exactly the same as last year, and then some tweaked and then some new. So, yeah, no, it's great. There's super cool park. Really, really excited if we could get that in the ground permanently. There was 2 layouts, so I didn't really actually get to see much of the day one layout. I know there was maybe 1 hole whose par was probably too generous. But the scores come out really nice. That's the only thing I really know about it. So looking at day one, and a lot of these people probably would have, everyone probably would have been over par on if they were all playing the day two track. So seeing winners in the negatives on day one, and then MA4 being just a +1, I think that's great. I think that means Kalen's done a really good job of tailoring a course that might be, more to the skill level of the people playing on that day one. So really good to see, and I hope we see more of that. Like, that's great. I'm sure it was more work for him, but I don't think it's that much more work, and hopefully we get a bit more of that going on.
Yeah, great shout.
Speaking of MA4 being a +1, it was a joint +1s from Phil Hall and Matt Mutter. So edged out Jason Vincent, who was a +3, and Matt Mutter got it done in the playoff. So
do you remember who I tipped?
Matt Mutter.
Hey, bang bang.
Bang bang. Let's go.
I know my MA4.
Yeah, boy. You for sure do. So that was cool. Big first round and fair drop off in round 2, but did enough in round 1 to hold him in good stead, and then obviously wins the playoffs. So very cool to see there, Matty boy.
What up, Matt?
A couple FA4s were kicking around too, and it was a whitewashing. So Simone McKnight absolutely demolished it with a pretty respectable score, if I don't mind saying. Emma Winkworth, who's been around the game for a while but has been a bit off and on, she got her covered by a couple of strokes, so no mean feat there. So well done to Simone McKnight. And Mia Daniels had put a couple of rounds together and shot 3 strokes better in the second round than the first round. So that was good to see. A little bit of improvement there for Mia.
Well done.
How did MA3 shake out? Fat field, 21 players, huge.
How's this for a bottleneck? And this was all the rage when I got to the course on Sunday morning. People were still talking about how this was shaking out on the Saturday, and that just any one of these 6 players could have taken it down, obviously being MA3. So in T2nd, ending up 2 shots behind the pace, we have Lewis Penhall, Adam Spears, Braden Boyack, Johnny Martin, and Zach Schloffel. And I feel like that's who I went with in the end, was Zach Schloffel. But taking it down was your tip, Smokey himself, with a hot round 1, Carlton Clerk.
That's it. Throllers team member Carlton Clerk gets the W in the brand new shirt. Just looking great too, wasn't he, on camera there?
Oh, and have you noticed he's already changed his PDGA photo?
Oh, I have not. That's sick.
And it's already him in his stroller shirt.
Let's go.
So good.
That was cool.
So good.
Equal second place was Throllers team member Johnny Martin. We like to see that too. But yeah, what a bottleneck. That's crazy. Good to see. Like I said, a couple under par getting the win in MA3, which we love to see. So well done there. I've got to give some shout outs. Who were they? I know Jace Wiedner got himself a nice fat eagle on one of the holes there. And I think someone else might have got, I should have written this down. I think someone might have got like back to back eagles or something.
Tom Mason. Tom Mason.
Bang.
back-to-back eagles on holes 9 and 10.
Huge.
So 10 was the soft par hole, from what I can tell. Just a lazy 177-meter par 5. So there were some hot scores there. But hole 9 wasn't giving up eagles all weekend, except to Tom Mason.
Big. Yeah. Big. Nah, super cool. But yeah, eagles for MA3. So that's probably the hole they could have done without that as a par. That could have been a par 4.
Yeah.
But good to see them anyway. In the FA2, it was a bit of a tight battle early, and then Kim just asserted her dominance in round 2. So Kim Michelle takes it out by 6 strokes, 4 behind Margaret Trowell in round 1, and even 3 behind Bridget Alberston, but just goes whack with an 855 rated 65 in round 2, which just huge, 10 strokes better than Margaret, and then some for Bridget and Martha. So huge round 2, just says, nah, I'm having it. This is mine.
10 shots better than herself as well.
Yeah.
She went 10, ten shots better from round 2 to round 1.
So good. So huge. Yeah, huge work there, Kim. And in the FA50s, the two FA50s, they both got through one round and had to pull out for round 2. But Sue Donnelly getting the best of it there. Pretty handy score of a 76. So she takes that out with a DNF, which
there you go.
Not bad. That might be the first trophy handed out to a DNF. But Kaelin was like, what do we do with this? I was like, well, may as well give it to him. But otherwise, what else are we going to do with it? So good work there, Sue.
Well done, Sue.
The big dogs of the day were the MA50s, though, and they put on a bit of a show. How did that shake out?
Look, you've hyped him up earlier. We're talking about the Queensland Open. He got out of the box fast, young Ricky Lewis-Schell, with a -8, 948 rated round. A mere millions over his current rating. So huge, was always going to take some catching, but you had Doug, you had Mike, and you had Albie, and they were the names we threw around, and they got going a little bit better, particularly Mike and Simon Farrar came in with a -5 round 2, but there was just no catching him. He put light and day between us, and took out a 3-stroke victory, Richard Lewis-Schell.
Yeah, I think I threw his name out there. I reckon we're having a bit of a Nostradamus time here, because I know I would have tipped Mike for sure, but I think I'd mentioned that he'd beaten Carey recently and has been up and about. So I reckon he got a bit of a mention. I'm going to claim that as good enough. But yeah, huge. Yeah, 948 and MA50. Bang.
I think that, therefore, we actually tipped every winner of the day.
Probably. We're the best.
We are pretty good. So don't fact check that. Do not fact check that.
Yeah. Don't go back and listen. You just got to remember.
Just remember that that's what we said.
Exactly. So that was day 1 in the books, but it was a 2-day event, and we were popping up for day 2, and I was there to win. No, not so much. I think I mentioned on the pod that I was not going to do much, and it's funny, I mentioned Emma Wigworth before. I was chatting with her on day 1, and she's like, oh, I barely play anymore. So, I come in with no expectations, but then I play and I expect to be better. And that's exactly what happened to me. I came in with knowing I'd be shit. And then when I was shit, I was like, this, she's shit. So that was annoying. But I took my full stats, and I was circle 1 in regulation, 2 out of 18 holes, both rounds. That's tough.
Nice.
It's tough. That's tough sledded. So I throw in real bad. Putting really good, though. I hit my goal. I missed 3 C1 putts for the day, but one of them I was in a bush, so I don't really count that. And I hit 2 C2s. So
you know how you can really not count that?
What's that?
is not put it in C1 when you're taking your stats.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
told you this before. Yeah, if you don't true. Have a if you don't have a putt, just don't count yourself as C1.
C2. Smart.
Just cook, yeah. Or off fairway, like either.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, all right, good idea. I should do that.
Yeah. That's exactly what you should do. That's 100% what I do. Like, it's only C1 if I've got to look at the basket. Otherwise, what am I doing? Like, I'm just hurting my stats.
Yeah, true. And if I hit it, I'll count it.
That's an off the fairway throw in from 8 meters.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. We'll see. There was some half decent signs, but most of it was just junk. So got to sort some stuff out. But yeah, the putting's good. The putting's good. The putting's getting better too. So. But I digress. In the MJ15, it was Marcus Davies versus Charlotte Davies. And yeah, Marcus came to play. No, well, they both came to play, but yeah, he absolutely smoked his sister. Putting up round two was the only one above his rating. So round one with a bit of a slow start, but better in round two. I think he played with you guys in round two, right?
He certainly did.
How was that? Was that your first time up close playing with him?
First time playing with him. I hope he took his stats. I don't think he did. No, he didn't. Didn't miss a putt. And he had a lot of 6 meter putts. A lot of 5-6 meter putts. Like, I want to say he had like 18 of them, and he just hit them all. And yeah, it was good to play with him.
Sick.
Yep.
That was cool. MA2 was a pretty big field there, and it quickly got away from most of them. How'd that shake out?
Yeah, we'd be lying if we said we tipped this. Lachie McKenzie, Daniel Frawley, my mate, my fellow maths teacher, and Tommy Jankar rounded out the podium after round one. Daniel Frawley finishes in T3 along with Matt Harris and Peter Chu, who came up the leaderboard. Tommy Jankar jags second. Lachie McKenzie, no one could catch him. Takes out the W by 3 strokes.
Yeah, big, big first round, and then backs it up. Round two, so 949 rated both rounds. That's event, winning Yame yeah. 2. That's winning Yame yeah. 2 all day, every day.
Yeah, 100%.
So the fact that it was only a 3-stroke victory was like pretty impressive. So
Yeah, Tommy Jankar played a 936 event for a second. Often would probably be pretty close in MA2, a 936 event.
Yeah, nah, 100%. So very nice by him. I think that was my tip. Sorry, let me down. Come on, motherfucker. All right, mate.
Yeah.
And Jacob Cruden in 12th place there with a plus 12. Just a little worse than what I did. And I couldn't have played any worse. So that was good. It's good. Very much enjoyed that.
I got to play with Jacob round one. And like it was pretty shit going. Was quite surprised to see him go worse in round two.
That's pretty stoked. Margaret Trail, slow start for round one, but kicked it up way better, 10 strokes better in round two. So potentially the conditions were much better in round two not much better, but just wasn't drizzly. So much better performance by her in round two, group of one. So she dominated in the MA40. I don't think we tipped this either. I might have had him as a
smoky,
a smoky in my my tipping. No, what's it called? The dollars guarantee. I think I might have had him as a possible matchup with someone, but didn't go ahead with it. But Anthony Majan Tony wins pretty comfortably. So the leader after round one, and put up the best score of round two. So not much you can do about that, but get beaten. So Tony with a plus 5 overall, great event. And Peter Morgan there in second, Paul Arden third, just edging out Ash Wiedner.
Correct. Taron Anderson missing out on cash. So he would have featured in our tips for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Tony just gets it done, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Tony plays all right.
Yeah.
He never fluctuates too far, too, from his rating. He goes a bit missing for a while, and then he'll come back and play a few events, but he's always right around that 900 mark, and he's just played just above it now. So that's good enough for MA40, I guess.
There you go.
900 not good enough for MA1, which is great. I think I averaged a 900 event, and I came 10th. So, which is that's what you should get. It's at best.
Yeah.
In MA1, there was big concerns about coming what I called last in MA1 because Nick Valentini played, but I don't count that. So there was real danger, and Martin Goh and Don Carter just did work for me late and dropped pretty hard, and I got a birdie on my last hole, so that got me all the way up to 10th and not 13th. So let's go.
Let's go.
But some people played good. Some people played good. Who we got playing good?
Well, we didn't see this coming, did we? The man, the myth, the legend who said, don't tip me because I won't play any good, just rolls in with a near on 970 event in Penlu. So no surprises there. And he's kidding himself if he thinks he surprised himself. But yeah, minus nine is pretty good going. Closely followed by Chris Scott, obviously also an awesome MA1 player, and I love to see it in third there, none other. This was written in the stars, also playing above rating, so he might be getting back up to being a 950 rated disc golfer soon, Oscar Fellberg.
Nah, that was good. Very good by Oscari. And I would say Chris Scott, Throwler's team member Chris Scott, was, I think, a little offended that he didn't get tipped. We were sort of looking at Pan. I might have thrown Kalen's name around. And how quickly we forget that he is the most recent Victorian state champion, the major winner.
Correct.
So Pen couldn't get that done. He played. So big, big miss there by not mentioning Chris Scott. So huge performance by him. Okay, it was closer than that too. There was a couple holes to play, and I think, yeah, Chris, I thought he parked it, but on hole two, but I think he was a little short and maybe taking a bogey run and a putt he needed to hit, and that's all Penn needed for his little buffer.
Yep.
And Oscar tried throwing it away. He tried so hard.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
He tried so hard, but no one else was really trying to do anything. Like, only four people in the field under par. And, Oscar did enough to come third. And I think that was part of our throwers guarantee, right? You had Oscar not to podium?
I had him podium.
For four?
Two podium for six, sure? Please. Certain.
No, I told Oscar that, and he's like, oh, yeah, I would have backed me in at six. And I was like, yeah, all right, fuck off, mate. So that brings you up to 13. I think my throwers guarantee was in this as well. I had a battle of the Sams, so Sam Barnett versus Sam Stoyer, and I reckon he gave me a 50-50 split, and I happened to be on the card with Barnett and Stoyer round two, and I told him that I was fortunate to be on it because I got to see a front row seat of how my throwers guarantee he's going to pan out.
Yep.
And I didn't let him know what I needed. I just said it was on that card. So, like, it could have been, like, Don Carter was on it as well. I could have been a part of it. But it was tight. It was a back and forth. And then, yeah, the last sort of six holes, I think it was, that Sam Stoyer just had a little bit of a downtrend, and Sam Barnett had a little bit of an uptrend, and Barney gets it done by three strokes. So, boom, 5 points coming my way. Gets me on the board. So, it's 13 plays five. Took a win, but the lead grows. So, not ideal.
There you go. It's very ideal.
Very ideal. MP40 was a two-horse race, not even really close in the end, but started pretty close. So Ruben Berg with a 58 shot out of the gates, four clear of our man Daz, but only one behind him was Lee Baker over from WA, which was a very nice surprise because I had a bit of a t-shirt handoff set up to get a shirt over to Dobbsy, and I just see a little WA name and I'm like, hey, maybe it's just a one handoff. So Lee's going to take that for me. So thank you very much, Lee. But in round two, the big dogs eight. So Ruben went two strokes better. Dazza goes five strokes better and really separates themselves in the field. So Ruben takes it out with a neg 12. Very nice performance. Dazza with a neg 7. I played with him in round one. He definitely had some looks. He had a couple putts had been a little higher and could have been ring-a-ding-ding. And then, yeah, Lee Baker there in third with Tim Ware and Al Down rounding out the five there.
Yeah, they are the big dogs eight at Melbourne Celebrates. That's a mind the gap situation, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. In the
Huss and Sarah, that was round one. Obviously, we scored it up as a little bit as a part of our guarantee. We thought, Sarah being away from the game, being consumed by Ultimate, that Huss would, I intimated that Huss would run away with this.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah came to play round one. And it's like, oh, hello, we could have a battle here. But the dust settled round two and Huss was able to pull away and take out the 9-stroke victory, managing to shoot a nearly a 910 event. So it will be a eagerly await Tuesday's update. I think we're in that awesome month where it's like, yeah, Tuesday the 8th is like the update day. It's like the earliest time it could happen in the month. So, yeah, we could have another 900 rated female disc golfer in the country.
Sick. Yeah, I think we will. I think we will for sure. So, great work, the Huss. Kicked my ass. And correct. The MPOs, how'd they fare? Everyone just kill it?
Look, we didn't touch on the fact that it was actually quite wet and miserable, round one in particular, and moisture kind of hung around for round two as well. So I think that definitely separated. I heard nothing but phenomenal reports about the Saturday and how we'll obviously at Jacobs for a fair bit of that afternoon, or it was a glorious afternoon, but that's not what we got to play in Saturday morning. So it was a bit tough going, obviously wet discs, probably causing some, missed putts. Paddy gets out of the box with a 1,000 rated round, with minus eight, closely followed by DP minus seven. Then you had, Vil and, Timmy B tied on neg four. Paddy, as we all know, cause we obviously listened to his podcast, he listened did a deep dive into our podcast because essentially he was stuck at home sick as a dog for a number of weeks. Did that podcast. I don't know if I told you this, Alan. Did that podcast and then immediately just got sick again and had to go straight back into hibernation. So the man was frail. And I got to speak to him before the round and, you could hear it in his voice. He was on the back end of some serious lurgies. So I'm sure he was really stoked with round one. And probably not really surprised by round two. Couldn't keep it going, probably ran out of steam. Vil had a great second round, but DP took it down by four shots.
Big. Yeah, big. Yeah, that's what's got me a little unconvinced. It's a four-stroke win. He played, 995 golf. That's pretty good, but I don't know. It just didn't seem convincing. I wanted to be a bit more out of that from DP, I would have thought. So, yep. I don't know. I'm a bit nervous for Queensland Open. We shall see. He'll probably smoke it. But, what happened to our boy Nate?
I don't know. He had a couple of excuses for me along the lines of, not being able to throw. It's hard when you run with that as an excuse to someone who legitimately doesn't get out to throw. It doesn't really land. I'm like, yeah, you've probably thrown more in the last week than I've thrown in the last month, but that's okay. He's got some things going on and he just couldn't get going. It wasn't for him. Didn't get to play with him round one, but that was particularly gross round one. hopefully gross enough that it doesn't count for him, but it's not more than 100 points out. So he's got to hope for a small standard deviation, which I've not done the maths on. You alluded to before about like starting, having low expectations, but then once you tee off, you're like got high expectations. Yeah. I did not fall victim to that.
No.
I'm able to maintain my really low expectations and kind of just walk away from the weekends like this, pretty chuffed. Happy to walk away from the weekend playing above rating.
Mm-hmm. That second round was nice.
Yeah. And the whole, like, embarrassingly, the hole that killed me was the short par five up the hill. I went a double bogey round one and a bogey round two. Did not manage to par or birdie the short par five. So that's really gross. That's really, really gross, to be honest. So there's five shots there if you go birdie, birdie. And then I've got more than a respectable score. But anyway, it wasn't to be. I double bogeyed it and bogeyed it. And so for me, it's putting. Interestingly, but this is true at Vic Open and here, I'm just the throwing buzzers, man. God, I park some holes with the buzzers.
Sick.
Hole, is it 16? Just like on the rocks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a good hole for the buzz. But, yeah, round one, I missed five C1 putts. And, yeah, two of them were from inside 4 meters. So, not great.
Not great, no.
but throwing quite well. Not hitting C1 enough, though.
Yeah.
So I got four C1 regulations round one, and I got seven C1 regulations round two, which is pretty good. And obviously, I hit the six birdies round two, but one of those was also from circle two. I managed a circle two putt both round one and two. So, yeah, I walked away from the weekend pretty chuffed.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. That's a good weekend.
Yep.
I tell you what, Dave Perry did some weird shit. So he got two eagles in round two. And do you, like, what holes do you think he might have eagled?
Mm-hmm. I know what holes he eagled.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it hard. Well, the one of them, you can definitely see was the second par four, hole 15, or whatever it is. That's, that was set up to try to sucker people into eagle. And Dave didn't sucker, he just eagled. So that was cool.
Yep.
But hole 13 is messed up. That's a short par four, but it's not, like, I don't know. I asked him, how the hell did you get there? And he's just throwing a big roller out to the left, and he put it to 10 meters. That's messed up.
It is.
That's messed up. So no one else in the field was doing anything like that. So that's just Dave Perry things right there. That was cool.
It is very cool. Circle, like, you see an eagle and you're like, oh, that's sick. I wonder where he cashed it from. And then you find out it was a circle one putt and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
How did he get to circle one?
Yeah, crazy. Melbourne celebrates in the books again for another year. So I'm hoping it just stays at Bundoora now. We've got nothing else good going on. So hopefully for the foreseeable future, we can do that. So big shout out to Kalen for running his first ever tournament, and I think it might have been Melbourne's biggest tournament, 120 odd players. So well done for him for putting his hand up to do that, and maybe hopefully we'll do it again next year.
Melbourne has some very sexy temporary golf courses.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, between Alinda and Bundoora, just how good.
Yeah, I know.
How good.
And we've got some permanent ones.
I know.
We might have to do our dream 18 of Melbourne trash courses.
Yes, we do.
See what we can come up with.
Hang on, that came up on the tee off.
I
don't like that they are dismissive of Stony Creek hole two.
They hate it. It's so good.
Give the people the voice, mate. It's a good hole. It's a great hole. It's the best hole two in the nation. And we got robbed by some of your dodgy shenanigans.
They specifically didn't do the voting because we ruined it. The Stony crew ruined it for him last time. That's so funny. All right. We rambled on a bit. there was some Pro Tour stuff on as well. It was the Discmania Challenge presented by True Bank, which was last year's Des Moines something something. And scenes, mate. Absolute scenes. Ezra Aderholt gets his first Pro Tour victory. Seemingly the next guy up for a year and a half, two years even. And he finally gets it done. And there was some elation for him when he did it, when he calmly walks up and then taps his disc in, and then he's just like, like going nuts. So cool to see.
No, I loved it. I was so here for that reaction. I can't stress that enough. And like some of the slow-mo videos and the stills, obviously he's like got biceps to like that just put the rest of us to shame. But just like, just that sheer fierce elation, joy, and like, and there was loads of emotion as well. But I think some of the best photos in disc golf this year, like all moments in disc golf this year, came from him, his reaction to winning and just what it means to him. And it, I thought it was like really, I thought it was really professional. Like, and it just showed like that, like what it means to these athletes to like get these W's. I loved it.
Yeah, nah, it's pretty crazy. Like to think, because there's dudes obviously who win multiple every year and just think they're gonna win all the time and stuff, but it's just, he's played so many Pro Tour events now and been so close so many times. Like, it just would be such a crazy feeling for him to finally just be like, I'm off that list of like the next person who might win their first one. Like, I'm done. My list is over. I've won a Pro Tour event. So really, really cool.
Did you tell me you, did you catch his interview?
No, I did not. No, I was at work, so I only sort of a little bit.
I don't know if I want to snip this up, and I don't know what I want to do with this, and I don't want to offend anyone. And feel free to, like, drop me a message if you want to give me any clarity about, like, how you read this. But he definitely gave God a backhander.
He gave what?
He gave God a backhander.
Oh, I missed that. I definitely didn't hear about that.
So, like, obviously we know many Americans are, like, into their religion and each to their own. And I'll try to quote this, but I'll get it wrong. But it was essentially something along the lines of, if I was in control of my destiny, I, of course, would have won one long ago. But I thank God for letting me win one today.
That to me sounds like he's into it.
You know, he's 100% into God.
Giving him a backhand. Like,
yeah, no, I think he's giving him a clip saying, "Oi, I wanted to win one of these years ago.
No.
And if it was up to me, I would have won 1 year ago. But it's not up to me. It's up to you, bro. You only gave one to me today." I didn't know how to read it. It felt like a clip.
I think you're reading too much into it. Just quietly off of mine, but.
People, let me know. I was just watching, you know, and they always, you know, they always say something, but I was just like, he's like, he literally said, if it was up to me, I would have won 1 year ago.
Yeah, okay. He's taking away all responsibility for him choking the other 15 opportunities he had.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, old Hambone Hamas in equal second with my tip, Evan Smith. And seems like a crazy pull, but he was literally like the third highest rated player in the field. And I sort of looked at that and I was like, all right, well, I think he played okay here last time. Let's just pick Evan Smith. He's been playing okay lately. And bang, gets a T2. So very happy with that. And your tip, Sullivan Tipton, in fourth. Where did that come from?
Yeah, well, I've got a system that I can't share with you. But obviously it involves the spreadsheet, but it's evolved and I've got some other things going on. And he was simply the next logical tip. And you are right when you say that, Evan Smith, he's actually was the fifth highest rated player going into the event. So up there, you won't find Sullivan Tipton so high up that list.
Nope.
At 10:31. He's just inside the top 20, I think. So yeah, was pretty stoked with that performance. And I think I'm just going to take down our tipping competition. I've
You've done the math?
I've done the maths, and I think I'm coming home strong.
There you go. Well, I might have hurt myself here with the FBO side of things. So last week on the pod.
You fucked the pooch here.
Last week on the pod, we were talking about the USWGCC. Oh, fuck, I can't even say words. But you're on US Women's Disc Golf Championships.
Yep.
And Cadence almost had it, and I was like, oh, she's playing great. I'll tip her for next week. And then I did. I went to our tipping thing, and I put her name in, and then I started looking at the MPO stuff. And then when I started looking at different things, I saw that Emily Weatherman played pretty all right at Du Bois last time. And I was like, maybe I'll save Cadence for one of the Elite Plus ones. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'll do. Emily will be all right. She'll get it. And Cadence wins it, of course, with a negative 17. And Emily Weatherman, 15th, with a plus 4. So, good call, dickhead. I would have leapfrogged you for sure, I think.
Yeah.
And into that top 3. But, didn't happen. Did not happen. So, at least I still got Cadence up my sleeve. But, yeah, big win for her. So, two players who had never had a win, and she gets it done pretty comfortably over Holland Hanley and Owen Scoggins.
Phil McLeod won't be familiar to many of our listeners, but I believe Phil is one of them. He's leading our competition at the moment, and he tipped. He was already leading. He was already the guy in front of the comp, and his two tips were Cadence Burge and Evan Smith.
It could have been me.
That really hurt us.
That's so good. Such good tipping.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's big. Yeah. And we're off to Europe now after this, right?
PCS, Sula. It's Norway, isn't it, I think? Is that where PCS?
Yeah.
I think it
might be.
Yep. I've put my tips in. I've got two Ws, so I'm ready to go.
Nice. I've got to look at that.
No, I don't have two Ws, and I don't think there's any catch and feel. I'm just trying to hold on to that cash line.
Spicy.
But, yeah, it's such a good comp. And for all our listeners out there, obviously you can't get in on it now, and I know between Alan and I, we talk about 600 different tipping comps.
So many tipping things.
But, like, this one, like, if you follow along any pro tour, like, just fractionally, you got Pat Utrey in our comp who doesn't even know what a frisbee is, and he still plays. It just gives us $50 every year. I don't know. I love this one.
It's good.
I do love this one. Yeah, it is good. Yeah.
Yeah, very good setup.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a bit of Throllers Guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got your eye on Melton, or are you looking elsewhere?
I do have a little eye on Melton, and I also have a little eye elsewhere on the Disconnection Queensland Open,
All right, well, Jacob Cruden recent sign-up in Div A somehow. What's the Jacob Cruden versus Carey Edwards matchup? What would that net me?
That is so spicy. That's a 5-5. I can't split them.
Okay.
Feels like a generous 5 for Carey.
Yeah, I like that. I don't mind that. I'll have a think. You want to
DP to win Queensland Open?
Ooh. Okay. I'm a bit off his performance, so. Let me get that back up because I got out of it. But DP disconnection thing. I think the field is good enough that no one should go in as a proper favorite. So I think he's technically more likely not to than two. So he's already on the 6-ish minimum side. DP to win. DP to win. Is he a 7? You got Blake and who I think will win, and Bainey. And I just don't know if Alex has got it in him yet. I know his rating's super high, but I got to see him win it before I can, you know what I mean? I don't think he's won any of these big boys yet. And I don't really like any of the others. Frosty down. So I think it might be a three horse race. I don't think it's enough to go seven. So I think it's a 6 he does and a 4 he doesn't.
Oh, all right. Come back to me. That's good. That's good. That 4 is very tempting.
I'm sure. 4 he doesn't win. It's so bullshit. No. that's what I was trying to explain to Oscar with the 6 podium thing. I was like, there's 17 people in the field. Every time I do these things and I do them thinking, you know, like it's going to be a 50-50. And then the guy comes 5th and it's just like, yeah, of course he did. Like, so now I just add that little bonus one in there. All right. I want to... I can't really get Ville involved. He's just too good. What about Ville versus Penn?
Yeah, that's the other one I was going to look at as well. That's hot as. Like, I know Penn's my bunny at Social Days, but I don't know if he's Ville's bunny. But Ville had a good round 2. And look at him. He's 986 rated.
Yeah.
I'm
having a lot of trouble scoring this one.
Ville narrowly goes in as favorite. I will give Ville a 4 there, and you can have a crazy situation where you can have Penn for a 6 win
at
his home track. I know.
He makes me nervous, like, is he dicking around with his shit? And
yeah.
He just goes there to win the CTB. So it's like, I just don't like backing him.
Yeah.
I backed him against Leo, and it cooked me. And he was just like, yeah, Leo's better than me. I'm like, yeah, so's Ville. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure I like that one just yet. All right. Who else we got?
Can I have Schloffel to take down Div B?
Okay. All right. Less likely 2 than 2, I think. Div B's a bit volatile. And
yeah, thank you. I was hoping for some Div B generosity.
Yeah. So, yeah, less likely 2. I guess he's a 7.
Yeah, because you've got Ralston in there, Josh Quinn, Matt Daniels. He is a 7. Fuck. I'm just getting cocky here. This is what happened to me last time.
Seven's a good number for you.
I know. And I just like run it at 7. So like, you go for one more and then we'll come back to this. This is great listening. People love this section of the pod.
I'm sure they don't. This has got to be so shit. We should really do our research beforehand. But I honestly, I get my iPad up about 10 minutes before we're about to start and then start opening pages and stuff like that. All right. I want to have a look at Richard Lewischel in the 22-person field in MA50, what do I get for a podium?
Oh, podium. Ooh. Okay, for a podium, and I love how you try to beef out the size of the field there. It's just
22 players, massive.
Pad your numbers.
5 people with no rating. Like, it could be anything. Well, three of them are... 300 million. So never mind.
Never mind about those guys. Look, to podium, he's got 4 players rated higher than him. He's a 3 to podium.
That's too much for me. I'll take Carey to beat Jacob. Fuck, I hate it. I never get the Jacob one right.
All right, and what did I offer you for that? 5-5?
Fives, yeah.
That's good. All right, can I have Ash Brookers versus Kim Michelle?
Oh, that's so good.
Thank you. I'm pretty happy with it. Div C. I'm going to Div C.
That's so good. Ash and Kim, that's got to be like a 6-6, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, I'll give you a 6-6.
All right. Which way am I going to go?
Yeah,
all
who right. do you want?
I don't know. I've got to think about this for a second. All right, let me think about this for a second. I'm going to go I'm going to go Ash Brookers.
Ash Brookers for six.
Yeah, right, Ash Brookers for six.
Yep. Well, these matchups will feature on the tipping comp. Which,
oh, and I've got another one for you.
Yeah.
I've got another matchup that has to feature for the for your other one. Can we please have, if it's not already in there, Cassie versus the FA1 field?
Oh, no, it's not already in there, and I'm not changing it. I feel like once I start dicking around with, like, I just got to put it out there, and then it's done.
Okay.
It is not but in you, there, sorry.
And this one you are willing to change, though?
Well, I haven't done it yet. I'll be doing all on Thursdays. So it's just going to be a standard system. I'll do them all on a Thursday and we'll go from there. If people drop out, if whatever, we can cancel them. But if people add in, I'm not adding it. I do it on Thursday. Just so everyone knows, job done.
Sorry, boss. Gotcha.
No, I feel like I need to make it as uniform as possible.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, we've got a fair few people in that now. Almost 30, I think. So pretty exciting.
Hell yeah.
And that'll kick off. Tomorrow. I'll do the matchups tomorrow. All right, I think that's it. Oh, no, we do one more segment at the end of every podcast. Spotlight. Spotlight, not light. I forgot about that. What have I got? The spotlight. Have you got anything with the Penn's tech disc thing? Is that feature?
No, I don't. No.
I'll spotlight that.
Yeah, do that, please.
Penn got himself one of those tech discs, which apparently is pretty hard to get your hands on from what he was saying. So, and he brought it out for everyone to have a little bit of a play around with, which was cool. And plenty of people got into it. And so he's put together a little spreadsheet of all the data for everyone to see. And come up with a little top five and all that sort of stuff, which is good. Plenty of spotlights and not lights in this, which is good. My not light, apparently I can't throw further than 40 meters.
I did see that.
My average meter was 36 and a half meters. So I don't know what's going on with that.
So you were throwing it just like normal into the net?
Well, I was trying my new stuff, which I'm trying. Okay. Like when I actually am practicing, I try to taper down my arm speed to get my stuff right.
Yeah.
That's track. When you try to slow your arm speed down and you throw a Halo Wraith, apparently it goes 36.5 meters. So
there
I don't
you
know.
Go.
I said this before I realized any of this stuff. People were there and witnessing it. I'm not so convinced on some of these distance numbers. Only because it had Kalen throwing 132 meters, which I'm not against that. But these were flat hyzers with a Halo Wraith. You've played a lot of disc golf, right? When do you ever see someone just throw a flat, stable disc? Like, it shows the flight path, no turn. So just like a constantly slightly moving to the left and then dumping at the end, 132 meter shot.
So the tech disc, you tell it what it is? You tell it like it's flight numbers?
Yeah. So you have to buy like the disc and it's programmed to that disc. So it's programmed to, it's a Halo Wraith in your hand. And
oh, so you're not just like buying the button that sticks to the bottom of any disc?
Nah, apparently you have to, which is, I feel like, that's scamming them there. There should be an option to be able to say, this is now a strike. This is now a whatever.
Yeah.
They're screwing people a bit there. But yeah, so stocks were limited. And apparently Penn said that was sort of the best thing he thought he could get. So it's a Halo Wraith.
Okay.
But yeah, how often do you see people just throwing flat
Hyzer,
no turn, 130 meters? Like,
not in Australia.
Nah.
So I've seen it on the TV.
I was like, I think that's trash. So I'm not just saying that because I can only throw 36 meters, but but there might be some shenanigans in that, so we shall see. But no, it was pretty cool. Penn had some notes, which is funny. So he goes, he's food for thought. He goes, Dave Perry's three-time warm-up steppers are better than your best of all time. Just simple statement. Dave's three like couple warm ups are better than you could ever throw a frisbee ever. And I was like, that's excellent.
It's so true.
Oh, so I love that. And yeah, he's got his top five in here for the day. Unsurprisingly, the number one person who threw the disc was Dave Perry. And exceptional speed, controlled fight, good stability, blah, 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 bunch of stuff. Nath Parrish, Kalen, Lee Baker, and then Chu rounding out the top five. So apparently they're the top five forms in Australian disc or Melbourne disc golf of the people who threw Penn's disc on the weekend.
There you go.
But I thought that was cool. So it was cool he brought that out. I'd mentioned to the club at a board meeting a while back, I think, something to the effect of buying one of them and charging like $10 for 10 minutes and you'd make bank because he's got, how many is that? 24 people just had a crack on the weekend. It could have been $240.
Yep. That
tech disc to be paid for itself in no time.
Well, I don't think they come cheap and I don't know how many are in the nation, but the only other person that I know that owns one is a millionaire. And that's Reese Wisniewski. So, I don't think they come cheap.
No, they don't. I think maybe the Hearts possibly have one. I think there's a few floating around. There's not many. There's definitely not many.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know. Yeah. I know they definitely are a packet, but I reckon they would have covered a lot of it.
Yeah.
But no, that was cool. So good to see their pen. That's my, that could be my spotlight.
Mine have already been mentioned. I was going to mention DP's Eagles, particularly the one on 13. But I will mention the, from what I can tell, on Sunday, the only other Eagle outside of the NPO division went to none other than Narada. So well done to Narada for jagging the Eagle as well.
Oh, yeah, you can't hear it. I just played the spotlight sound. First time I played it forever.
Spotlight! Yeah, exactly.
Nah, that was good. Yeah, big on the uphill par five, I think, right?
Yeah, it must have been, yeah.
Nice. My not light was just a weird thing I saw today, and mostly because the math ain't mathing for me. So today is July 2nd. That means tomorrow will be halfway through the year.
Okay.
Well, the day after the halfway through the year, we're halfway now, of 2025, which they're saying means we're closer to 2050 than the year 2000. And that doesn't make sense because the year 2000 was 10 years ago. So I don't get that part of it. And so that's a not life of mine.
Good call. Yeah, I've seen stats like that before. That is fun. My not light has to go to none other than the future Queensland Open champion, Mitch Evers.
Wait, he gets the not light. Oh, yeah. I thought this was going a whole different way. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm here for this.
Oh, no. This is a fun not light, and I don't know if it's got a bit of a spotlight action in it as well, but Mitch Evers has to get a not light because I got to play round one with him. That was just the way it shook out. I don't know if you noticed, there was some random cards round one and a few of the big dogs in NPO got to play with some of the AMs. I was one of the big dogs getting to play with some AMs, which I really did appreciate. But anyway, Mitch Evers, we roll round to about hole 15 or 16 and he's obviously a big fan of the show. Should be a Thrower sponsored player, but obviously does not have the shirt. But he just like stops me in my tracks and he's like, good episode as always, Chris. But absolutely the best joke was when you ran with calling targets Big W.
Oh, yeah. calling Big W a shit target.
Yeah, calling. Yeah, exactly. So some baskets are Big W because it's a shit target. Yep. Thanks, Mitch. Definitely not our podcast that ran with that joke. I know it kind of felt like it, and I know where the confusion come from. We touched on that at the start of the episode. It felt like a Throwlers episode, but it actually was the tee-off. So Mitch Evers has to get my not light for thinking Paddy Robinson was a co-host of the show.
Fair. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, yeah. Don't forget to get your tips in for the social day tipping comp. It will be out, ready available sometime tomorrow.
Peace out.
Keen as. Yeah. Thanks, guys.